Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, welcome to episode 324 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hopefully you're enjoying things so far. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, review, share this, help get the message out about sales being done in a different way, right? From a place of authentic persuasion, such that it's successful for you, the salesperson listening to this, or the leader, the team lead, the manager, the owner with a team that wants to be successful using authentic persuasion. And then also focus on the fact that the more we can all band together and shift the way sales is done, then what happens is the prospects, the customers, the clients, the general public will see sales in a different way than what they see it now. Because let's be honest, the way that people see sales people now is with a guard up, with their wall up, with their emotions being blocked and safely held, their wallets being safely held at a distance. Now, obviously, there's some people who they don't mind taking the risk. They are okay with change. They understand that if they make a mistake, it's all right, and they'll buy really easily. I'm not talking to that group because that group's going to buy from you and then they're going to move on. I'm talking about the ones where it takes some special skill and process to get them to move forward. That's the persuasion piece in authentic persuasion, which is you as the consultative salesperson. They need you to help them cross the line into change, to get out of their comfort zone, to get out of their fear bubble that their primal part of their brain is stuck in, and help them move. And one of the things for today, what I wanted to chat about beyond that reminder is that really successful salespeople that I have seen, sales professionals who are true authentic persuaders, are looking at long-term versus short-term. Now, it's interesting because every time I talk to people that aren't in sales or wouldn't identify themselves as salespeople, what's fascinating is that they usually say the same kind of things. And my response, if you're listening to this, if I've ever talked to you and you would never classify yourself as a salesperson, but we've talked, you've probably heard me say things like, no, but actually, that's what makes you a really successful salesperson. And if you know the authentic persuasion framework, or if you've read the book or listened to my podcast, it's really about being yourself and it's about persuading, but it's about persuading for the right reasons and the right reasons, which sounds judgmental, but the right reasons be what's in the best interest of your prospective customer. Now, sometimes what's in their best interest is you to push them like crazy to take action. They need it. You know they need it. You know that if they don't buy from you, they're going to put their head back in the sand and then bad things could happen. So there's that part. Then there are the situations where somebody wants to buy something or is interested, but you know it's not a good fit. You really know they shouldn't do it. And that's where the authentic persuasion piece really kicks in, and where I think it's somebody is being truly authentic and truly coming from a place of selling as a service to others and as a duty and responsibility to others to keep people from buying things they don't necessarily need. So let me share a story with you. Recently was chatting with someone who is a manager of a warehouse. And we were talking and he shared a story with me that he isn't in sales. And I was like, you're selling, you're persuading, you're getting people to take action. And he said, well, you know, the closest thing I've ever had to a sales job was working at a gun store. And this isn't an advertisement or support of guns in any way. I mean, not for or against it. This is more about a story about the process. And so what he said would happen is people would come in and they think they want the biggest, most flashiest, expensive gun in a category. And then what he found that he would do is be like, he would stop and say, okay, what do you want this gun for? What do you want this for? And somebody would explain, right? And this one story he told me is like, okay, I want it for self-defense. So if that's the case, then you don't need all these bells and whistles. You don't need this expensive gun. You don't need this $1,200 gun. This $600 gun would be just as good for you. And I like to tell the story because it's an interesting example. Most people might not think of guns in sales like you would furniture or auto or software as a service, but it's all sales. It's all persuasion, especially when it's done right. And what he said was people think they want this, But in reality, once you probe and you figure it out, then people don't need that. They need something else. Something else would actually make them happier and more successful with what their goals are. And so what would happen is he would go through that process and he would essentially undersell, right? And if you're listening to this as a manager owner and you're worried, I don't want my reps to undersell, just hold on and listen to this, because what would happen is he would undersell. So instead of the $1,200 gun, which was completely unnecessary for what the person wanted, sell them a $500 or $600 gun. Then that person would be super happy. Months later, they would come back and say, that was perfect. I love it. I appreciate that. And now I understand the more expensive one, and I'd like to buy that because now I want to go do those other things. And so a couple of really critical things happen in that conversation. One is he wasn't trying to sell anything. It wasn't about him and his quota or numbers or stats or anything like that. It was about the other person's success in what they wanted in their goal, and then helping them with the right item to get them there, the right product, the right service, the right tool, help them get there for the right thing. And he knew that by doing the right thing for that person, that there would be so much trust and appreciation built from that, that when the time came that they would want something else, they would immediately come back there and they would immediately want his help because they trusted him. And really, that's the difference between long-term thinking and short-term thinking. Do I want to sell the $1,200 gun today or a $600 gun now and $1,200 gun in a couple of months, and then obviously be up even more and have a relationship and have someone who trusts me and what we do here and what kind of help they're going to get? And so that's the big difference. Now, I'm not saying you should always undersell in order to build trust. No, I'm saying like you want to figure out what somebody wants or needs now, figure out how to get that to them as wanting the best for them, right? So not over, not under, what's just right for them, and then looking at it long term. So the thing is, always keep in mind, long term is about imagining what they will be happy with versus the buyer's remorse. The next day, week, month, year, will they be thankful that you sold them what you did, or will they regret it? Will they feel happy and want to share that experience with other people, or will they feel embarrassed and either keep that experience to themselves because they don't want anyone to know that they messed up and overpaid or bought the wrong thing, or equally as damaging, will they share a negative story that warns other people, hey, whatever you do, don't go to this store and don't talk to this person because he'll sell you some crap that you just don't need, right? Or oversell it to you. If you go in there, make sure if this is what you want, don't let them upsell you. Because that's what really gives salespeople a bad name and a bad thing where I started this conversation, which is why the public keeps their guard up, because they're worried about salespeople selling for their own intentions and not what's best for the prospective customer. So look at things long term, focus on the long term, and do the right thing for people, and it will pay off. And again, not about underselling, it's about helping people. And when you do that, you become an authentic persuader because you're helping other people in ways that they need it. And you're truly becoming a sales professional, even if this gentleman with the story that I shared would never consider yourself as a salesperson, you truly are, and you've become an authentic persuader. So that's it for this episode. Again, make sure to share this. Appreciate everything that you do to support the show. If you want to find out more about authentic persuasion myself, go to jasoncutter.com. You can find all my links there. If you haven't, make sure to check out the book. And that's it for this episode. I'll catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.